What's up? Me share this out like I always do. Want to talk about a fun day? Today has not been one. Say hi if you're here, and then I will talk like I do all the time. I'm just sharing this video out. You guys are welcome to share it too. And then I will get started here in a minute. So I'm going to talk about some of the loads I had to move today. I'm going to talk about some customer issues and carrier issues and what, and then the normal Q&A that we normally have. But let me just get this out to these groups. But like I said, I just got to share it out. So bear with me a couple of minutes, guys, and let me get this out to these groups, and then we'll go from there. I don't even know if I've already shared to these groups. So I'm just going to share to my one other group, and then I'm just going to begin. I'll start talking about my day because, after all, that's why I make these videos. I also chew tobacco, if you guys can't see, and I'll spit it out before I get to talking. But let me just put this and one or two other ones, and then we'll go from there. So a lot of people talk about rates and what's good and what's fair and what's not. And today was a good example. I booked a load with a new customer. Granted, they were a customer that I found through our internal system, which was good. I cold called them. He ended up asking me if I could move some rough terrain crane, a legal load for a step deck RGN. I looked up the lane rate. On that and truck stop, it said between like 28 and 32. So I put it out there for 3,000 because I figured, hey, I'll just give it a shot. I wasn't really even concerned about it. Customer approved the rate I gave him, which was 3550. Carrier agreed. I ended up finding a carrier for 31 or 3,000. And so they were happy with it, and I made, a decent profit off it. I had money in it, so if the carrier asked for more, I would have paid more. But I was still paying 244 a mile, which was higher than what the DAT average for that equipment was. And I posted it on Facebook, and I still got reamed for it. People were like, oh, gee. Well, one guy did. He's like, that's flat, but that's not even flatbed freight money. And it is, because the way we work as brokers is we look at the market and we determine what, and if the market's low, then that's what the customer is going to want to pay. So we have to use that. If you guys want to adjust the market, which you completely can do, stop taking the cheap freight that brokers have to offer. 244 a loaded mile for a legal load with no permits, easy pickup and drop off is not a, is not, it doesn't qualify as cheap freight. That's I, and that's just my opinion, and my opinion is all that matters on my show. So it just made me laugh. I had a lot of people that called on it, and I booked it really easily, I guess. But I didn't book it because I didn't have a hard time covering it because I had decent money in it. So that's one of the advantages of having, a load that pays decent. Now, so I'm going to give again, I'm just going to keep rambling for a minute until I spit this thing out, and I'll do it off camera. But I'm going to keep rambling because I'd like to get viewers up a little bit and keep sharing this into the other groups for a second, and then I'll talk about what the hell is that road dog? I'll talk about some of the stuff. So yeah, hold on. You guys don't want to see me spit out chewing into a bottle, but So I drink one soda a day. I drink it at lunch. I also drink a shit ton of water. This is my first gallon for the day, and it's almost gone. But all right, so getting started, I was talking about that full truckload that I have, or that I had. So we got Bailey here. Andre's here. Bailey's going to be back. Ed says hi. Hi. So like I was saying, I had a full truckload. I ended up getting a customer, you know, just cold calling him. He ended up giving me a load. He had a history of working with Trinity, so it was good. So I was able to essentially convert that business by just, you know, saying, hey, I'm new with these guys. I'd love to be able to earn your business. I'm, independent, small. So I treat all customers fair, whatever I did in my sales spiel, but it worked. And he asked me what I would want for a quote. I gave him my quote. And immediately he booked it with me. Within an hour, I had it booked, and an hour later, they picked it up. That's the way it always should go. Now, I was talking about cheap freight very briefly because this lane was from Southern California to Wyoming. Not really the best rate or lane or whatever. But the reason why I was able to cover it is because when I quoted it, I quoted off of that and the truck stop's average rate, and it gave me between $2,800 and $3,200 for a standard, you know, flatbed, step deck, RGN load. It gave me the rate. It wasn't an oversized load. It wasn't super heavy. It was 44,000 pounds. So it was just a legal load. So I ended up posting the load for $3,000. I posted it online on the load boards, and I posted it through my trucker's load board and my flatbed freight load board Facebook groups. Of course, you get the same. I didn't, on the people that called, they were actually, I don't think I posted the rate on the load boards, but when they called, everyone was fine with the rate. It was just a matter of getting trucks in order to pick up on time. Online, people, or one guy, you know, one person made a smiley face, which is fine. Another person made a comment saying, oh, that's cheaper than flatbed freight. No, it's not, because that's where I got my rate from. You know, and I said that. I said, you know, what the range was for flatbeds and step decks, and then versus what I paid. I just always get a kick out of people that don't know what lane rates are, and yet they're shitting on lane rates. It doesn't make any damn sense. You know, so I ended up covering that load for $244 a mile in a lane. Now it's going to Wyoming. Everyone could say, well, I need to pay more for that, the line haul going there, because the lane rate coming out of Wisconsin or Wyoming may not be that great. I have news for you guys. I am a freight broker. I do not own any trucks anymore. There is no benefit to me to say, okay, I need to make this rate going up to this point, you know, paying $3 a mile, because the carrier is going to have a shitty time coming out of there. That's not my job. It's your job as a carrier to say, hey, I'm going to have a shitty time getting out of Wyoming. I need a little bit more on the rate. But if I can post a load out and within an hour without even calling a single carrier, if I could post it on social media and on the two main load boards and have it covered within an hour, that those are the people that you focus your aggression on. It's not the guy that's sitting here moving a load for $244 a mile, which isn't even a bad rate. Okay, so with that done, you guys can all jump in. For anyone who's never seen one of my videos, I see all the comments, so you guys can comment and I will comment them. It takes me about 2 minutes before I'll see it, I think, or maybe it's live, I don't know. Or before you'll hear what I'm talking about. You're commenting on something that I talked about 2 minutes ago. But at any rate, so it's the freight rate shit arguments are just, they're stupid. And people always think that, you know, they know what they're doing and they don't know. And then people all the time are saying shit about cheap rates and online. And it's just so funny because there's so many uneducated people out there that are owning and operating trucks. You know, I've had owner operators tell me, you know, because I made that video last week about maybe I'll take on a truck or two dispatching. And I got guys that are like, yeah, I'll run, you know, my semi, my step deck, anything over $110. $120, we'll go. And I'm like, oh, are you driving it? That makes sense. And they're like, no, I have, you know, I have a driver in it. I'm like, you're not making any money. There's absolutely no way you're making money. I won't move a full truckload for that rate. You know, same thing just happened. I got a load from the island coming out to going to Ohio. The customer wants to pay $1,100. It's 628 miles. Now, granted, you may get lucky and have someone that are already delivered to the island. So if they were smart, they already got premium coming back and they'll treat our load like a backhaul. But I told my new customer, brand new customer, I told her, I don't know. I'll work on it. It's the best I can do. I can't guarantee I'm going to find coverage for it. And I'm not going to try to undersell it. They want to pay $1,100. I'm not going to undersell that rate and try to make $100 off the load. I'm going to try to sell it for $1,100 if I can, and then go back to them and say, hey, I got something for $1,150. The only reason I would do that and continue working with this customer is because they sent me over 70 loads for the next 30 days. No shit. I'm going to keep doing it. They're all full truckloads. They gave me a, you know, crushed car load from Chicago to Ohio this morning. I covered it with a $50 profit on it. I don't care. I'll do that all day long. Again, I'm a volume guy. So as long as the carrier is happy with the load and I'm happy and the customer's happy with the rate that they wanted to pay, I'll move it all day long, you know, and I'm also quick to give back a load. If it doesn't work or a carrier falls off a load and my customers say, hey, do you want to stay on the load? You know, I can't do the load. I'm just going to say, you know, I can't stay on it. Sorry, my wife is on her lunch break, so she messaged me on Facebook. But yeah, it is what it is. Cheap rates and all that stuff are kind of funny. Everyone always makes arguments about them, and it's just stupid. So my big customer, so if anyone doesn't know who they are, I'm not going to tell you, but they are a customer that openly work with other brokers. Now, I've worked with them for 5 years. I worked with the previous ones, you know, that before they merged with the new company. I had a good reputation with the previous guys. So, you know, I was able, when it became times like this where you got 15 other brokers all working on the freight, I would take a step back and I wouldn't move any loads, and they'd call me in a couple of days and be like, why aren't you moving loads? And I'm saying, your distribution email's too big. I'm not going to compete with 15 other brokers. 5, 6, I don't care. I'll compete with those guys. But when you have 15, 20 different brokers or carriers direct on an email chain, it's pointless for me to even try to work it, because I'm not going to cover enough to make it justified to deal with the volume. And so yesterday I realized, Tuesday I didn't really cover, I think I covered like 5, which is, keep in mind, I usually book, you know, a crap ton of these loads. But I normally cover a lot of these loads. So I think Tuesday I covered 5. Yesterday I covered 2. So I'm like, what the fuck is going on? So I ended up going and running the lane rates. So the running the lanes that they were giving me and running them and searching for loads under those lanes to find out there's 50 other brokers plus my customers posting loads and posting a rate higher than what they're offering or saying their capacity is to me. There's two parts to this story. So I ended up emailing my customer and I'm like, listen, I can't do this. You know, I'm not going to be a referral service and just refer carriers over to you guys, because that doesn't make me any money. It doesn't make any sense. And he's like, what do you mean? I said, well, you're posting a rate higher than what you're telling me is the max that you could pay me. And I'm like, how am I supposed to be able to upsell the rate, or how am I supposed to be able to cover it? Because you're posting a rate higher than what I'm posting out, which are the rates that you say you can do. And he's like, well, I took them all down. So I don't know if, and I haven't checked today, because today is going the same way. You know, I think his distribution list is really big. But here's the second part. So I relocated down to Florida back a couple of years ago, or not years ago. I relocated last year in May. I took a position as a director of agency services for a big 3PL down here. I'm recruiting owner operators and stuff, because they had an asset-based side. One of the things, and I also said I wanted to get out of brokering at that point. My goal was just to train agents, to bring on new owner operators, to, you know, make sure I vetted the company enough that I felt really comfortable going out and putting my name behind it. So when we had owner operators who wanted to lease on, they were going to be safe, you know, and it wasn't like one of these other owner operator, you know, companies that are hiring out and then everyone's bitching about it. I didn't want that. So I did my due diligence, but one of the keys was I didn't want to work any accounts. I didn't want to be a broker. And I said, I have these accounts. I will start the transition for you guys over to handle them, but I don't want to work the accounts. Long story short, I get here. They had me flying all over the place, opening other agents, you know, because they were acquiring small brokerages, and I'm training people. I had to fly back to Jersey, had to go up to Chicago, had to go, I was all over the place. The thing is I ended up brokering again, and I ended up being the account manager on the account, which was fine. It was the same account that gives me all the problems all the time, but I make all my money. But it was fine. long story short, I ended up having a big blowout with the vice president of my company, or not of the company I was working for, of the account that I always have for 5 years. I had a big blowout with him because he's selling me these rates. He's trying to charge me for late deliveries and all sorts of other shit that they never did in 5 years. And so finally, I'm if you can't tell, I'm very straightforward. So I was like, you know, go fuck yourself. Excuse this language, ladies. And stop working on the account. So I'm sitting here yesterday when I'm like, why am I not covering these loads? And I start searching all the other brokers that are working on the load. And guess who pops up? The company that I used to work for, that I have a contract with, that said that they were supposed to pay me a commission if on any loads that they handle. So of course I do my due diligence and I message them. I send them a text message and I said, hey, either stop working the account or we're going to have issues because you're not supposed to be working the account that, you're not supposed to be working my account. Simple as that. You know, and the owner called me and he's talking, but he didn't even care that he was working on my account. The only thing he cared about is he said, wait, you're brokering freight again? Because I stopped brokering and I was just doing my trainings and my consulting and all that shit and my dispatching. And I stopped brokering and he's like, wait, you're brokering again? I said, yeah, I'm an agent with Trinity. I just decided that was the best fit for me. And he got all bent out of shape and said something about a zebra doesn't change his stripes and shit like that because I'm not an agent for him. He wanted me to come and be an agent for his company. Great guy, great company. And I'm not going to mention who it is, but great guy, great company. But the issue I have with them is when I set up a customer with credit, a brand new customer, it takes 2 hours at max with Trinity for everything from setting up the customer, getting credit approved, getting the customer fully set up on our end. With this guy, it takes 72 hours to a week, you know? And so with the type of business that I run, I can't be waiting that long if I have a load in play because I'm quoting a load to move that day. If it takes them 72 hours to set up the customer to move a load, I've already missed out on 2 days worth of loads. It doesn't make any sense to me. So, you know, and I told him that and he got all butthurt and hung up the phone and all that stuff, which is kind of funny. But I think I did make enough of an impression because I didn't see him posting loads and I should check again because I keep checking. Cause I mean, I tell you between my customer, I told my wife about it. My wife, here's something, you know, you guys may or not realize. My wife is a teacher. I am a bleeding heart conservative with Tea Party as right wing as you can go. She is like a Bernie Sanders loving, you know, liberal teacher. I don't need to say anymore. So we don't, I listen to hard rock, heavy metal. She listens to like Sublime and classical jazz and shit. You know, we are like polar opposites in almost everything. She's a painter. I used to like pretend I could skateboard and play guitar, you know, shit like that. So we have very little in common, but I told her about this whole, and she also does not like logistics at all. She doesn't have it. I've been doing this for 15 years. She doesn't understand it. She doesn't even understand how I make money. You could ask her what I do and she'll be like, something with trucking after 15 years. Even shit, my kids, 8-year-old and 4-year-old probably know more than about my job than she does. And it's not her fault. It's just like, it's the same thing with teaching and childhood education. I know nothing about that, nor do I care. But it's funny. So I was talking to her about this because I was pretty mad because I felt two ways. One, I felt like I was being undermined by my customer because he's posting rates higher than what he's telling me he could pay. And then secondly, my previous employer is trying to go after my clientele a year and a half after I stopped working for him. I don't care if it's been 5 years. It's just a matter of principle. You don't go and steal someone's customer. And the fact is I never checked, so I didn't know whether they were, you know, actively working with them. And they are. See, he still has the same fucking load posted today. So, and you know what sucks is because there was a customer that I just came across the other day. So the company that I used to work with has the same loads posted today. So he took what I said and said, fuck it, Steve, doesn't matter. Which is kind of ironic because I'm a very straightforward, honest person. I also am very true to myself and my business. So I know if I can cover something, I can cover it. If the account is too big and there's someone else that's more better suited to handle an account versus me, you know what I end up doing? I call. So I called him last Friday and said, hey, I got a lead on an account. I can't handle it. It's drop trailers. I don't have trailers. We're non-asset based. You know, it went with Universal or Landstar. I could have figured it out. Could I figure it out now with a drop trailer arrangement? Probably. I don't want to. It's too too much work. So I call him and I say, hey, listen, I got a lead for you. I'm just going to give you a name, a number. You run it yourself. Everything. He's like, sweet, sweet. This is the same guy that yesterday got all bent out of shape, saying he didn't know I was brokering freight and I should be brokering for him instead of somebody else. It's fucking dumb. But yeah, so that was my day. Like yesterday I had plans to make a video, but I was so dead. I was watching YouTube and shit all morning and not working because there's nothing going on. And then right around lunchtime when I got ready to start making a video, I look online and I see that just fucking hell's freezing over and everyone's being shady. So that is what it is. But how's your days going, ladies and gentlemen? Go ahead and comment. Say hello. I haven't got any new texts in a while. Anson, I don't know. Asin, I don't know how you say your name. But you're here every day, so I should probably figure out how to say it. Why don't you put it in the group and tell me how to say your name? James, what's up, buddy? Ed, I said hi. Bailey, you'll be back. Andre, what's up? But yeah, that's my day. You know, I have days where, so like this wasn't as good as last week for my pay. And I get mad, but it was still my average, you know? So I still get between that 1200, 1800 bucks take home every week. And I'm fine with that. Occasionally I want to make more. So here's something too, that I didn't say. So when I started making these videos a couple of weeks ago, I had a couple of people that worked in my office. I was doing stuff a little bit different. What I ended up doing is, you know, one of them I made an agent. The other girl, you know, I made her an offer that she refused. And I'm getting out of the lease in the office and I'm just going to continue working from home and just do it on a smaller scale. Because what I realized is I can make more money and not have to work as hard if I just get rid of the overhead and stuff that's about, you know, business that's involved with owning a bigger company. And that's what I'm doing. And hence the whole like sub agent idea and all that shit. Everyone that's messaged me about the sub agent stuff, I see it. I'll get to it when I can. You just got to bear with me. Michael said, disagree about the rates. We are a small trucking company that the prices literally put us out of business, but otherwise agree with everything else you said. In fact, we are trying to start brokering to supplement during these times. Rates didn't put you out of business, bud. I mean, that's it. Rates didn't put you out of business. The rates aren't going to put anyone out of business because you have to adjust your cost to it. If you have fixed cost of way too much money to operate your truck, then yeah, when the rate shift goes down and rates come down, just like they do every single February and March, they normally come back up by April. They didn't. They kind of planed out and now they're coming up. But rates have been low. But when everyone says, oh, these rates are brokers or whatever, you ended up closing my company, I don't believe that's true. I don't know your personal situation, Mike. But the only thing I could say about it is if you're running around in a $100,000 truck paying $2,000 a month or paying $3,000 for equipment, you're going to be fucked. It's gonna hurt you because then your overhead is so high. It's the same thing with me in my office. I can consistently not work hard and bring between $1,200 and $2,200 a week, my income, my take home, by not working very hard, working till like 12, watching YouTube, doing tracking at 2 o'clock, going to the gym. I'm not even quoting anything anymore because I have enough residual shit and I don't need to build more customers. But I could sit and do that because I'm living within my means. I don't have a Maserati sitting in the parking lot or in my driveway. You know, I've got a Harley in the garage and I've got a brand new car in the thing. And I also have, you know, a second car for me because I'm an idiot that I never drive. And I let Jess use, who works for me, and my wife's car. But we don't live frugal, you know, and we don't, right? No, that's the opposite word. I guess we do live frugal, you know. But it depends. You have to. I get pissed off when people say rates, you know, are the reasons why I lost my trucking company. You lost your trucking company because of mismanagement. I don't know your personal situation, Mike, but as someone who's lost several companies, I didn't lose them because rates. I didn't lose my trucking companies because drivers, you know, fucked up and crashed my trucks. I lost my trucking companies because I mismanaged the accounts and I mismanaged hiring and firing and I mismanaged my company. You can't blame anybody else for what's going on. With rates, I can kind of see your point. Rates went low. And that's the thing. And everyone says, oh, brokers were making a fucking shit ton of money. I wasn't really brokering when the rates were super duper low back in February and May, but I saw it from my dispatching perspective because I had my own trucks at that time, hot shots. And then I was also dispatching out 40 other trucks. So I saw that downshift of rates and it sucked. But you know what we did? I did what was smart. I cut my trucks out and said, fuck it. I can walk from my trucks and not lose my ass. And to be honest, I wasn't making that much money off of the damn trucks anyway. I think someone's here. Hold on. No, but I wasn't making that much money anyway with the trucks. I said, fuck it. I'll just cut them. It's hot shots. You know, I wasn't making shit. And I kept cutting my profit center for the dispatching side because it wasn't enough. I was making too much money for what the carrier had to pay, if that made sense. Because when the rates went down, and I say I was on 5%, this is how you could tell an honest dispatcher from someone that's not. I had a dispatch service where I either charge 5% or I charge a flat rate of like $800 per month to dispatch. Everything had to be paid up front. Well, the 5% was paid after you picked up the load, but before you delivered, because I had problems collecting money from people. When the rates started coming down, I realized, and I'm looking at, you know, the cost per mile and the rate per mile for each of my drivers. And if the drivers asked for it, I would provide it. But that was more of me and the market and all the research shit that I do. So even though these guys are all owner operators, I kept track of everything that they did. And so I could tell that their loaded miles, the rate per mile for loaded miles was going down. The deadheading mileage was going up because they didn't want to take these shittier loads. So they're trying to deadhead to bigger areas to get something that's paying 10 cents more a mile when they deadheaded 150 miles to go pick it up. So they didn't really even make anything more. But you have some hard-headed drivers that don't really think that way. And I started realizing that the 5%, even though I had a fixed cost, it, as we talked about the rate, you know, the cost calculators for figuring out an owner operator, even though mine was supposedly a fixed cost for these guys. So they were paying 5% or $800. They're paying 5% off of $1,000 load when that lane in November was paying, $1,800. So their profit, the money that they were making as profit was disappearing. And I couldn't in good faith say to these guys that I was responsible for dispatching, say to them that I would still take 5% of something when that was their profit. You know, 5% always was their profit. Otherwise, you shouldn't have been paying me. Hold on, I got a text. But the thing that got to me is I was sitting there looking and people would have hard times or they would try to get the credit cards processed and it wasn't working and the cards were declining. And I started realizing that everyone's having money issues. So I cut my rates. I went to 4% and then to $699 a month instead of $899. And then I realized, okay, that made a couple of drivers happy, but I was still either losing drivers or I had like 15 drivers that all just up and quit, shut down their companies. Back in February and March and April, they just said, fuck it, we're not making any money. And they knew it wasn't me dispatching them because I'm an asshole when I dispatch. So I'm calling you on every single load. I don't care if you say, hey, book anything over $2 a mile. I'm still going to call you. You're going to know about everything about the load before I even give it to you. That's the way I dispatch. And I'm just like I am now where, you know, if you rub me the wrong way, I'm not going to dispatch you. And like vice versa, I'm a very straightforward guy. But so I ended up lowering my rates. And then finally I said, fuck it. I still can't charge a percentage. So what I ended up doing is creating the whole Find Me Freight thing. We built an app that was supposed to streamline all the back office shit a dispatcher does. You know, even though you guys think dispatchers don't do shit, but a lot of dispatchers actually do their job. And so the app was supposed to alleviate some of that and allow the carrier just to book and then just and build it on a tipping system. And so when we finally launched it with a whole bunch of hype and we had 500 likes on our page within, you know, a day of launching and everyone was super amped up to do it. And we had 30 drivers sign up and we dispatched out 30 loads in the first week and two people paid us for a total of $120. So I said, fuck this. I'm done. I'm done trying to help people. And that's, you know, and then I started looking at what I was going to do. So we got some comments. So I'm going to skip that. So Michael said, we're breaking even with trucks that are paid in full. It's hard out here, but who knows? It's a roller coaster in this business. It is. I mean, logistics is a roller coaster. You just got to keep trucking, man. That's what I say. And if you're breaking even, move your trucks up to lanes that pay better. Yeah, that's what I always say. Yeah, I mean, guys that are out of Florida, you're going to – someone was complaining about that they had to deadhead a truck to Georgia because they didn't want to take a load that was paying $1 a mile. Doesn't make any excuse me, I'm getting worked up here. It doesn't make any sense to deadhead your truck out of Florida if you have like a first come, first serve shipper and receiver. If it's a light load, take a load for $1 a mile coming out of Florida, drop it in Atlanta so you're at least not deadheading. People will deadhead for no reason. I don't understand that. It doesn't make any sense. There was one guy commenting how he deadheaded home 1,300 miles because he didn't want to take a load. You can find a partial. It's at least beer money or something, and it's not going to stop you. It's not going to take any of your time. And I don't think if you're using partials or using these loads out of shitty areas anyway that have always been shitty, I don't think that that's going to affect the market. I think what affects the market is if, say, for example, the load that I talked about 30 minutes ago when I started this video, if I book that load today, I booked a load, a regular step deck a regular load, not oversized, nothing, $244 a mile for 1,200 miles. Going to Wyoming, shitty outbound freight. But I booked that for $244 a mile, and I still got hammered for having cheap freight and this and that and paying less than these loads, and which started my kind of rant for the day. Brian, I'm going to address you in a second with that, what you just said. It's just all shit. But move your trucks up to good areas. Like when I dispatched, I had a guy that he was from Alabama or Arkansas, I think it was. He would bring his truck. He'd take a shitty load up to Ohio and run the Northeast corridor, Ohio, sometimes out to Chicago. Just run that back for 3 weeks, come home for a week, go back up and do it again. Because he knew that's where the money was. So he's just going to go chase the dime and then come home. If you're trying to run trucks or run back and forth all the time, or if you're running a shitty lane, then there's not much you can do. Go find a better lane. All right, because all the comments online about, oh, cheap freight this and freight brokers suck and fucking dispatchers suck and drivers suck and new carriers suck and old geezer drivers suck, and it's funny. We got bigger things to deal with than to just listen to people bitch all the time. But again, that's why I have viewers, because you guys listen to me bitch, so I appreciate it. Brian said, booked a load last month. First day, he said the best he could do was 2,300. I finally booked at 4. I pick up the government shipment. It's paid 5,004. Some brokers are shady. I just like some trucking companies are. Yeah. I mean, that is what it is. That is the art of being a broker. You know how you can get around that, Brian. This is the bit, and this is what I always like to say, except it takes too long to type it out. Go out and get that customer yourself. You can't do it now because you can't back solicit them. But you guys can, every owner operator in here can go right now. It's open season for registering to haul DOD freight. I think up until January, every single carrier and broker, as long as you've been in existence for 2 years, can go sign up for the, you know, and become a DOD authorized carrier. And you could bid on all the same shit that all these other brokers do. But the thing is, you cannot get mad, Brian, at the carrier or at the broker who got paid $5,544. And only paid you $4,000 because you took the load for $4,000. He, like you said, he started at $2,300. I can only take your word for that. That seems kind of shady, but you know, he took a load for $2,300 or posted there. You got him up to $4,000 until he got to that point where you said, okay, I'm going to take the load. And then you find out that he paid $5,500 and you're all bent for it. There's no reason to. You took a load for $4,000. You are the one who dictated how much your truck made, not him. Because if it was really enough that it was going to, that you had any reason to get mad at him for making $1,500 on a load, you shouldn't have took the load. It's as simple as that. You can't dictate on whether or not you take a load based on how much someone else makes. It doesn't make any sense. And that's why I'm mind blown when people sit there and bitch about owner ops or brokers who make all this money. I could tell you today on the load that I moved, that I paid $3,000 on it, $1,200, and I made $550. It was my first load for my customer, so that's why I charge a higher commission rate than I typically do. And I don't know how much volume I'm getting from him. So, and I didn't get the sense that I was doing a lot, because like my first load for this other new customer that I just got, they gave me 60 loads, But I made $50 on it, on the first load, on an $800 lane, you know? So I paid the carrier $750, made $50 myself, you know? It all depends on how much, like what kind of relationship you had. I've had loads where I had crane loads where I had 28 trucks. I paid and paid and paid and paid. And then by toward the end, that's where all the profit was building up because I had a budget to do all the moves. So yeah, there were times where I'm paying a truck $1,800 and I'm billing my customer $3,500 for the lane. And the reason I'm doing that is because I had to eat it in the beginning. So you don't know what the situation is. You don't know if he got paid $5,500 on that load because he had to roll a negative loss in on a different load. You don't know. I do that all the time with my customers. If I have a load that I booked and I can't, I have to give it back or I have to take a loss on it. I take a loss and I'll tell him, hey, add $50 on this load or add $100 on this other load. And as long as they can account for it in their budgeting, they'll do it all the time. So you don't really know the example. So I always get kind of annoyed when people just complain about how much brokers are worth. If you guys want to put me out of business as a broker, go get your own customers. It's a very simple solution. Every single owner operator who wants to put a broker out of work and says it thinks brokers are lazy and just pull money from everybody, go get your own customers so you no longer have to utilize them. But that's the funniest thing to me is when I recognize someone's name on Facebook that bashes brokers all the time and then they ring my phone to take a load from a broker. And it happens all the time. Or the other half of them are company drivers who have never once had their own authority. That happens a lot too. I'm an internet guy, so I can find out anything about everyone very quickly. And if someone ticks me off enough, I will. There's a couple of Brian, not you, Brian, but there's another Brian. I think his name was Meadows or whatever. He and I had a nice phone call at 2:00 in the morning because he ran his mouth. Didn't think anyone was going to be able to find him. I did. But that is what it is. So I hear it, but you don't know, to answer you again, Brian, you don't know how much the broker actually made. You have what you have the invoice freight expense. It doesn't even mean that's what the broker made. Shit. You pick up a Ritchie Brothers auction and they use your delivery receipt for a load. It's going to say that, you know, the little Bobcat you picked up is $16,000. You think that broker got paid $16,000 for it? I mean, that may be a bad example, but whatever. Clint said, so glad after 3.5 years of dealing with load boards, I got off my ass and found a direct shipper. Yeah, exactly. Rates never drop, paid layover. Rates do drop if you're dealing with a direct shipper. That makes me wonder about that. Paid layover, yep. Paid tolls, yep. 20 minutes from your house, tell the current side trailer. Exactly. And everyone could do it. It takes going and meeting the right side customer. Rates will drop. And if they haven't dropped, tell me who that customer is. I'll get them to drop. But no, in all seriousness, direct shippers, I did it when I had my own trucks too. I would go after direct shippers way more than I would deal with brokers. I had to deal with brokers a lot because of the type of freight we were doing. But the goal for any owner operator should be to get direct shippers and not to live off the load boards. There's all different sales techniques where you guys can do. You go to a loading dock and there's 5 other companies there. You go and sit your business cards to each one of those other companies. Don't give it to the one you're going to deliver it to because, that's back solicitation. And you get the right guy, the right broker, he's going to sue you for it. It's in every broker's contract. Brian said, Clint said, my rate never drops. It will. I can guarantee it. And if you're on a year contract, then you're good for a year until you renew your contract. It will drop. If the lane rate drops for that and you get someone else that comes in and provides the same level of service says that they're going to provide the same level of service, but they can do it cheaper than you, guess what happens? Your rate will drop. You may, and that's how it's going to be. Brian said he quit dispatching because no one wants to pay what a good dispatch is worth. I don't know if I saw you advertising dispatching or not, but there was someone else that made a comment like that. I don't care what anybody thinks a good, here's what a good dispatch is worth. 3%, 2% of a load. That's it. $50 a load, $40 a load. Anybody, I don't give a shit if you got 20 years dispatching trucks. If you're paying a dispatcher over $2 or $3 or $40 per load or $50 per load max, then you're getting ripped off. And if you are the dispatcher doing it, you're being a shady son of a bitch. Because with rates as bad as they are now, and you guys are sitting there shitting on brokers all the time because of how much money they make, you're going out and becoming a dispatcher. Not you, Brian, so I should take you down so it doesn't look like I'm yelling at you. But all these guys that are out there, they participate in the jumping on fuck am I talking about? Jumping on, hold on. Fucking annoying. Jumping on the old I hate broker bandwagon. And then they're out there dispatching for 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10%. I've had people that tell me that they're paying dispatchers 12%. And you guys want to harp on brokers? I can tell you there's a handful of time, maybe once or twice a week, I'm making over 8% as a broker. Maybe it's the type of business I am. Maybe it's the kind of person I am. But anyone who says that they're paying, any dispatcher who says that they're charging over, and I hope, guys, share the shit out of this video, to screenshot this little part. Any dispatcher who says that they are worth more than 40 or 50 bucks or 2 or 3% of a load is not a good dispatcher, in my opinion, because they're greedy. They're not, the whole purpose of being being a dispatcher is working for the benefit of the owner operator, the person you are dispatching. If you're charging that much, how can you even say that you're working under the benefit of the person you're booking loads for? It's my opinion, you know, and it is what it is. This is coming from someone who is probably the best dispatcher in the world, this guy. But I just don't do it anymore because I got to the point where I couldn't justifiably charge people what I was worth or what, you know, or the amount of money I needed to make. And so I stopped and I started being a broker again because then I could justifiably do it. Got the bond, got all the licenses and all that shit. Brian said, my point of was that 2300 and telling me he was losing money was shady. Oh yeah. Yeah. I don't think you said losing money before. No, you said the best he could do was 2300. You didn't say he was losing money. Yeah. If he loses money then, or if he says he's losing money and then he ups you, there's two things that could have happened. One, he's just being a shady ass broker, which is a very good possibility. Or secondly, he went back to his customer and got more money. You know, I still don't believe that I'd be very interested. If you see it on a freight invoice for a bill of lading, then you don't know what the hell that $5,500 is for. You don't know if that has to do with this load or has to do with, you know, a bundle of loads. You don't know. So I don't hold much value in it. I can't put too much more insight. But if a broker's lying to you and says, yeah, well, you know, I'm losing money at $2,300, the brokers don't book loads. And even if I do lose money on a load, I don't tell the carrier. I'm not going to tell him. You don't use that as a selling ploy. You know, when I say what my rate is, I just say it's firm. That's it. And I don't book anything else. You know, I just say it's firm. Rate's firm. Can't go up. I have people who are like, can you do $25 more? Nope. I said it's firm, bud. And that's the way I conduct my business. Brian said, I was dispatch operations manager and brokerage for 12 years before I ever owned a truck. Good. Yep. But aren't you the same guy that said you had to give up your trucks? No, that was Mike. Yeah, if you have all that, I mean, I could go out right now. It's super easy to do. I could go start a trucking company, come up with the money to pay the stupid, outrageous insurance costs, and go, you know, buy a truck and start my own trucking company and run all over the country doing it, you know, or hire a driver even. And I would still be able to turn a profit with that truck because I have been doing this forever. Brian, you should have no reason to do that besides the initial cash outlay. If you don't have money, then you don't have money. But I'm not sure. I wasn't shitting. It doesn't matter. Oh, I know what you're talking about. You're talking about because I said that no one's able to pay you what you're worth for dispatching. I already said what I think about that. Dispatchers that charge over a certain amount aren't worth they aren't worth a shit. That's the way I feel. You know, anyone who charges that much money, who the fuck is this? I'll call them later. But I mean, that's my opinion and it's not going to change. You know, I firmly believe it. And this is coming from someone who had a huge dispatching company. I had a big dispatching company with a lot of trucks that we dispatch plus my own. But Clint said a lot of owner operators are effing lazy and afraid to talk to a shipper and try to make a deal. It's not that. It's, you know, Craig Bliss on the other thing. He writes, or no, who was it? Someone said something about drivers going in and not looking the part and trying to go in and try to go after business. And I've made other videos where I talk about sales and, you know, contradicting what other people say about it. If you're an owner operator, go in and market yourself and your ability to be, and what you can handle. Don't go in and say, listen, I can help. I can solve all your logistics problems. And they're like, oh yeah, how many trucks you got? Oh, I got one hot shot, 30 foot. you can't help anything. Or you got one, I got one dry van. Yeah. Yeah. You got 400 loads a day. Let me jump on that business. Now you could try to go in that, but that, in all honesty, that's not the account you go after. You go after the guy, the direct customer that has a lane that you want, and you work on that lane. You know what I mean? And be quick to say no to people too, and hand out business cards. That's what I have to say to everybody. Hand out business cards, hand them to other drivers, hand them to, you know, the warehouse guys, the lumpers at places. Advertise your company on social media. Don't spam it, and don't do it in any of my groups, because I delete them all the time. Advertise your company. Get your name brand out. Go see the brand vision guy, whatever his name is, Brandius or website. Have a website built and represent your company. You know, Joe Blow's Trucking may be a great trucking company, but if no one can find you online nowadays, nobody's going to work with you. A freight brand, Craig's company there. Yeah, I don't know what he does, so I'm not gonna give him a recommendation. But the concept behind it, where they give your brand the identity of a much larger company, it's a good idea. But if they design a good website, then that's cool, because that's what everyone needs. Everyone needs a website where they can go online, so they could say, "Oh, let me look up Joe Blow's Trucking out of Buford, Wisconsin, or where Buford, Alabama, and see what's there." That's the biggest thing. That's how you market yourself. But yeah, and look the part. Be clean. If you haven't showered in 7 days and you haven't changed your clothes and you smell like fucking gym rag, don't go in trying to get customers. Simple as that. You know, that's basic. That's not even sales stuff. That's just, you know, being a normal human being. If someone comes and tries to talk to me and they smell, you know, bad, I'm not going to be able to hold a conversation with them. I'm certainly not going to be like, yeah, let me give you all my freight. Get out of here. That doesn't work. Clint said his rate never drops. Okay, but it will. Unless you're hauling some aggregate or you are the shipper. I don't know if you are the same guy that was making all the hustle and fuss about not doing anything less than $4.25 a mile hauling hay. Turns out he was a shipper. Of course, he can say he does that because he is the shipper. It's his product that he's selling. And he disappeared very quickly when I called him on that. It will. It will. Trust it. Andrew said, problem in South Texas where I live is these guys coming across the border and taking crap for less than a buck a mile. Yeah. I don't know anything about South Texas. I'm not a big fan of running interstate anyway for trucks. Texas is a big state. I understand that. Go get hooked up with an oil field. That's what everyone else says. But I'm not a big fan of interstate moves, because there's people that make a living at it and do it all the time. I just don't know how you're going to make a bunch of money if you're limiting yourself and where you can and can't go. Unless you have dedicated freight, and if you have dedicated freight that's paying well, you can do it. You know, it's like my customer, they have the lanes that we're moving, Chicago to Ohio, 290 miles. You know, they said they asked me what I could get it covered for. Now this is going to piss some of you guys off. 298 miles. You know what I told them? As a broker, I can cover the load for $800. Now that means I'm going to pay $700-$750 to the carrier. That's still not what the data averages. You know why I said I could do that? It's very simple. Because they gave me 80 loads a month. And I'm just going to go to the carrier and do the same thing. I'll make $50 a load at $80 a load. That's $4,000 in profit for being a middleman between. Now, could any of these carriers go to my customer directly and say, hey, I could do this? Yeah, they could, except I'll sue them for back solicitation. But if they did it first, they're advertising a lane. You can go and get the lane. Shit, that's what my customer was, you know, trying to find out about. When I messaged him and said, hey, I could handle one of these loads, or I could handle some of these, before I knew their volume, they were like, how many loads can you handle? You know, we're looking for direct freight, except they have no idea even how to set up, you know, RFQ or anything like that. Turns out that this is 80 lanes a month, or 80 loads in one particular lane. They sent me a list of like 15 different lanes today. So, I mean, you guys, all the people that are out there just saying brokers and this and shit and blah, 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 and blah, 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 you got to just get out there and do it yourself. And stop complaining. It's easier said than done. I know I'm not trying to be offensive to anybody, but when people are calling $244 a loaded mile for a legal load, cheap freight, because of where the outbound freight is, that's not what I care about. I don't care about the outbound freight as a freight broker, unless I have freight that's moving out of that area. I care about the inbound freight and what it's going to cost me to get the load that I need to get covered as a broker. So that's what I'm covering. I'm covering the load that I need to get covered. Doesn't matter if it's going to a bad lane. I can only cover it because if I go too high, then guess what happens? Broker B comes in and scoops it up because he bids lower. It's the same thing that you guys deal with on a day-to-day basis where you're booking a load and you quote a certain amount. And then he's like, well, and the broker calls you back 2 hours later and says, you know, I found a guy to do it for $1,800. Someone undercut you. Same shit happens with brokers all the time. People undercut me all the time. And you know what I do? I'll either say, okay, because I never go back on a quote ever. And that's just the way I do stuff. But you said talking about just getting out of Texas or back home. Yeah, I mean, Texas isn't a good lane. I guess it depends, but I haven't seen a good lane in Texas in a long time. To or from. Shit. I know I just moved from California to 16-foot partial from California to Texas for $500. I moved 32 feet last week, California to Texas, to like Dallas or Carrollton or something like that, for $900. And I think I moved one out of Dallas going up to Colorado or Salt Lake City for like $900. So yeah, I see. It's not great freight coming out of there either. But I can't help you that with that because I don't make the rates. You know, a lot of people say, you know, unionize and do this and do that. And, you know, let's all strike and stop our trucks in the highway because that does a whole bunch of bullshit. I mean, I don't want to get too political in these. But that doesn't do anything except just make you look ignorant, you know. That's my opinion. Any of those guys are welcome to to jump in and say something otherwise. Do I need – like a lot of people comment on like the government needs to step in and fix pricing. But those are the same people that don't want, you know, guns restricted and background checks. And it's really funny that when it applies to you, it becomes a big deal. And then when it doesn't, it doesn't. I just don't understand that. My solution is that owner-operators form some sort of coalition. And you supposedly have them. You have the OOIDA. You got ATA, whatever they're good for. And then you have the other idiots group who – I'm not even going to say it, but do not join that fucker's group. For one, he'll charge you $50 and he'll probably scam you and you'll never see anything done with it. But anyway, I mean, as far as I don't reference any group, but the only legislative group I think that's out there really for independent owner ops is the OIDA. And I don't even think they work with hotshots or anything. I think you got to be a semi CDL driver. But it would be nice. And this is coming from a broker. Again, I've got a really heavy carrier background, but it would be nice to see some structure in rates to be able to go to a customer and say, hey, listen, this is going to be your rate for the next month. Because unless I get them into a contract, my quotes say 3 days on them because that's how much the market changes all the time. It used to be 7 days or 14 days. LTL quotes used to be, I think they're probably still 7 days because they only really budge on fuel. But it would be nice to be able to say, to have some sort of leveling out with the freight industry so I could go to a customer and say, listen, this is going to be your rate for the next 30 days. And same. Go to the carrier and say, listen, I've got this load for the next 30 days. This is what I pay. It's already locked in with the carrier. There is no flux. There is no spot market anymore. That would be ideal. Do it. Is there any way to make it happen? Fuck no. All right. We're not, you know, a big organization like, you know, banks or anything like that. There's not, you know, we're not part of the interest rate or whatever. So it's that all the people that are like, oh, let's find a way. We'll all strike and we'll all get brokers to all pay the same rate. And we'll make the government's going to monitor the brokers and dictate how much they're allowed to charge. Okay. For one, that'll never fucking happen. And two, the idiots that are saying that are most likely the guys with stockpiles of guns at home because it's their right to have guns. And yet you want to impose limitations on somebody else. It doesn't make any sense. You know? But it would be nice to have everything level out, to have people stop competing against each other, to have me have a customer without having to go and just drop the customer because, you know, one of those mega brokers comes in and scoops up the rates. You know, that's just my opinion. It doesn't mean it's going to be that way. You know, I, This may be one of the better videos I made. It's short, but this may be one of the better videos that I've made, because I'm being true. You know what I mean? I don't know. It's not a sales pitch video. It's not me teaching you guys how to do something. It's me actually speaking the mind, my mind, like I wanted to do with these videos, and give my insight. You know, the insight of someone that has works as a broker every day, has a huge, a really heavy carrier background, owned trucks, used to drive myself, you know, got out of it. Used to dispatch trucks. I've consulted. I've given presentations. I've ran seminars. I've trained. I've done all those things. So I feel like if I can make a video and anyone watches these videos and it's helpful, fucking A, that's why I'm here. Morm said, hi. Hi. Claudio said, that's what I think that would sound like, but I don't know. So anyone who doesn't know, go to this down below, facebook.com/freightbrokerlive, or just like the video. It should be somewhere on the, like, what I do typically is if you like this video at any point, I can go and tag you and invite you to like my page. I make these videos as often as I can. Usually it's every day, Monday through Friday, when I'm working. You know, because my desk is covered with shit, and this is what I do every single day. I make these videos and I talk about just my insights. Oftentimes they're sales related. I talk about sales. I talk about being a broker. I'm just having one of those days. So today I decided to vent. You know, and I haven't even really looked on Facebook to see anything normal or any current events or anything like that. But. And Jared said, as the government stepped in and regulated rates on their scale, it would be counterproductive in the fact that we're a free market society. Exactly. They can't do it. People say all the time that they want them to. They can't. It will never happen. It'll never happen. What I think that people should do is find some balance. Just figure out that bottom point. Everyone has that point. Oh, I don't run my truck under this much. Figure out your actual number. When these guys are like, I don't start my truck for $3 a month or for less than $3 a month. That could be true. You may be one of those guys that are pulling local all the time, or you may not even have a truck and you may sit and talk tough on Facebook, which I think is about 70% of them. But if everyone actually gave the bottom and said, listen, I can't take a load for less than $1.50 a month. Can't do it. Just can't do it. And the broker was unable to cover that load for $1.50 a mile. Guess what happens? Either the broker's faced to take a loss and cut out their profits of the load, or they have to go back to their customer and say, listen, nobody's taking this load. I need more money. They get more money. And you get to that point where there's a level ground. If everyone says, hey, listen, I'm just not fucking taking any ass cheap freight. Cheap freight doesn't mean something that's paying $2.44 a mile. It doesn't. That's not what it means. Cheap freight is anything where your cost to operate your truck is more than what you're making on the lane. That's what cheap freight is. That's what it is. Contrary to what everyone else thinks, cheap freight is not anything at $2 a mile. It costs you over $2 a mile to run your truck, and your cost to operate is over $2 a mile, with you included in a salary, then quit trucking. It's not for you. Again, you may just watch this video and be like, oh, who's this stupid fucking freight broker? I've been around. Like I said, I own my own trucks, and I fucked up with my trucks. I didn't lose on the money side. I lost because of personnel. I was growing. I was hiring a bunch of people, and I took all the extra money I was making and that I should have been saving for the just in case, and I just kept buying more trucks and hiring more shitty drivers until I had 3 trucks, all within 20 days, all fucking crashed. And then you know what happens with insurance. They jacked my insurance. I had no extra surplus of cash, and I lost my ass and had to close the company. I had 20 trucks. I employed 22 people. I had to lay them all off. So that's when any of you guys that are looking to start up a trucking company and hire a bunch of people and buy a bunch of trucks and run it, think very carefully. I had that idea too. Granted, I'm young. I'm 25 now, so I was what? I'm 25. 35 now. I was maybe 31, 30. 29 when I had all those trucks in that company. I lost my ass. It was the hardest thing I ever had to do, was to just be done. You know, and what did I do? I jumped in a truck with a 40-foot trailer and I ran across country, illegal as fuck. But I had my wife and kids and all that stuff to provide for. So I had to keep going. But Morm said, why are rates are down and what's happening? Thank you. Rates are down because they're down. It's the economy. Rates go down. And what drives them further down is idiots that are out there running their trucks for less. That's what it is. Rates are down. They're down every single year. They're just lower now. It's based on the economy. Rates will come up again. They're coming up now. Shit, $244 a mile coming out of California going to Wyoming isn't a bad lane. Is it a great lane? Fuck no. But it's not bad. Look at the California to Jersey, Jersey to California. That for years and years, that rate flip-flopped back and forth. I remember when I used to move my own freight out of Jersey to California and then have to bring my trailers back. So I take a load and I would be like, what? I'm paying $6,000 for a trailer going to California and then have to pay $3,000 for 3,300 miles to bring it back. That's the way it is. It's just lane rates and how lanes pay, and it all cheap freight plays a part in it, because if you got drivers that are out there taking the cheap ass shit all the time, that information, those load numbers are all calculated, and it goes into, we see it every day when you look up what the DAT trend line is. That's what it is. They take all the information off of what people are booking for loads, and then they go in. That's how they have shipper carrier direct shit, because they have integrations with almost every single TMS system out there. And so they're pulling in all that lane data. And, you know, so that's those rates are accurate. And that's why, you know, you can go back and I think RateView does 90 days. You could look at what the lane paid for the past 90 days. The thing is, no one can figure out where it's going to go, which is funny. I think that Sonar wants to try to do it, but I don't believe in any of that right now. But rates are down because that's what happens. The economy's down. I skipped you, Jareth. I'll come back. Freight recession's ending. I don't think so. I don't think we're even in a freight recession yet. I just think rates were low. And I think everyone is quick to say recession in the United States of ours. I think everyone says recession very quick. That and impeachment. But whatever. Jarrett said, unless we're all about democratic socialism, Lord help us at that point. Yeah. Oh, is that, that's about your, this part. Yeah. Yeah. Well, it depends how this election goes, but we may be there, buddy. I don't want to get too political here, but yeah, there may be a whole new group of, I'm moving to Canada people after this, but that's what it is. It is what it is. There's nothing more I could, say about that. But Ben said, I would love to hear your thoughts, advice, tips to small growing trucking company. Well, just keep watching the videos, like my page, which if you see like my shiny face with a hat on, it says your favorite freight broker, or you can go to this page, which is my Facebook page, and grow there. Yeah, like it. I make videos every day, almost every day. And then if you go to this side, I'm still working on the site. Hopefully it'll be done this weekend. But I do blogs. I write different articles about what I want. I take interesting news stories and copy them onto my site. I'm going to have a store there for trucking shit. I'm making a freight broker bundle and a carrier bundle of all the necessities that I think you should get as a new broker, as a, you know, starting your own trucking company. That's how I'm monetizing this shit, because you buy it and then I get a commission for you buying it. But that'll be for the broker one. That's what I'm excited about, because that's what I have. So it's a phone system. It's the provider that we use. It's the, you know, multiple screens, the computer, you know, everything. You can't do this on a laptop with a cell phone. You used to be able to. You can't really anymore. You need multiple monitors to be an effective broker, you know. But I guess it depends also on volume. When I'm a volume guy, so I'm booking, you know, a shit ton of loads. I need multiple screens open all the time. But all right, what are these other questions? Andrew said, that's what I was getting at with Texas. No way to get the Mexicans. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I'm not even fucking with that one right now. But yeah, I hear you. I don't know what to do about it, though. I'm not in Texas, so I don't hear about that aspect. I don't know. What are my reservations with Sonar? I don't know. Too big of a list. I have it, and I have, you know, I pay a bunch of money for it. I didn't jump on in that $199 a month thing that everyone else does. So I think I pay $600 a month. I don't know. I looked at it a couple of times. I'm a trader too, so I play the stock market almost daily. I just didn't like. I don't have time. That's probably my only reservation with it. I haven't even figured out where I could see ahead and see what the projected rates are. So I don't know. That those are my reservations. I haven't looked at it enough to actually. That's it. I haven't looked at it enough to make up my mind on whether or not I want to recommend it to anybody else. But that's just me, you know. But again, I'm going to end this video now because it's been an hour and 5 minutes. Facebook.com, Freight Broker Live. Typically what I try to do is I put these on YouTube later. I then also take the sound off of this. As long as it's a good one, I listen to it later. If the sound is good, then I take it off and I put it on Blog Talk Radio. So it's a downloadable podcast on iTunes and Google Play and all that shit. So you can listen to it while you're driving your truck. If you didn't catch the video, I'd love it if you guys would share it out. I am fully open to having discussions with people. I can have another person on the screen. We could do live interviews or arguments or whatever would possibly interest you. So if you want to do a collaboration, the only thing I ask is that you have some experience. I don't want to do a sales seminar over the thing. But yeah, see you later. Goodbye.